Hey friend, welcome to the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. I'm your host, Emily Cleghorn. This podcast is for mamas navigating childhood trauma while also walking through mamahood. I'm so excited that you've decided to take some time out of your day to join me and tune in. I hope you find this podcast uplifting and empowering. Let's get to it. Hey there. Before we jump into this episode, I want to let you know about something that is brand new that you have access to as a Mamahood After Trauma listener. Now, tell me, does this sound like you? You want to give your littles a positive childhood experience. You want the steps to finally heal your childhood trauma. You're tired of the fear holding you back in life, and you enjoy being a mama, and you want to be more present. If you answered yes to any of the above, I would invite you to check out the Mama Untriggered private podcast series. This is a 5-part private podcast series that teaches you how to ditch the emotional roller coaster and bust out of the fear controlling your mamahood. Let's teach you how to calm your nervous system through small, simple steps. I mean, parenting books and workshops are great, but we believe it's better to give you short, actionable audio clips that allow you to take action right away so that they can't escape from your mom brain, right? If this sounds at all interesting to you, I would invite you to head over to subscribepage.io/mamauntriggered. That's subscribepage.io/mamauntriggered. Now, let's go into this episode of the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. Hello, hello, mama, and welcome to this episode of the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. I'm so excited that you have taken some time out of your busy mama schedule to tune in and listen to this conversation. Today, we are joined by Dr. Mala. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited to have this conversation today. So today we're going to focus on navigating mamahood with a TBI. So if you're not familiar what that stands for, that's a traumatic brain injury, and PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. So Dr. Mala, can you just share a little bit of your background and how you came to be working in this space?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I'm a psychologist, coach, administrator. I do many, many different things with my background, but home base is psychology. And I really fell in love with it just because I wanted to connect with people, quite honestly. You know, that was the pull. So I just really dove into a variety of different fields to specialize in. And one of my first was TBI, traumatic brain injury. And I've been a supporter of, you know, TBI advocacy, as well as, you know, providing care to those who have had a TBI throughout my career, in some way, shape, or form. And I think one thing that is, you know, also unfortunate is that not many people know about TBIs and what they are and how they work and all of that. So I'm always about trying to educate also to, you know, just anyone who wants to learn about what a TBI is.
Yeah. I think the education portion is so important because there isn't a lot of discussion around how a TBI or how dealing with post-traumatic stress disorder or complex post-traumatic stress disorder mm-hmm. impacts your life, but your life as a mom.
Right.
And it
right.
has a profound impact. Mm-hmm. So let's start at the basics. What is a TBI?
Yeah, for sure. So TBI, I mean, generally speaking, is any type of injury that's going to occur to your brain or that has occurred mm-hmm. to your brain. So it can range from mild to severe.
Mm-hmm.
And there are generally categories that are based on the severity of the injury,
mm-hmm.
excuse me, the mechanism of the injury, and also the area of the brain that is affected. So there are different types of TBI, like I mentioned, concussions, contusions, coup contra coup, which is essentially like where if you were to impact, then your head and your brain inside of your skull are going to go kind of like back and forth. So that injury occurs when the force is enough to cause a contusion at the site of impact as you're kind of like going back and forth like that. So that's one.
Mm-hmm.
There's diffuse axonal injury, otherwise known as DAI, and that involves damage to the brain's white matter and is one of the most common and devastating types of TBI. And it happens when the head is rapidly accelerated or decelerated.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some of the ones that people don't know about. There's also penetrating injuries, anoxic brain injuries. So that also is another one that doesn't always get classified as a TBI because they can occur without a blow to the head. So anoxic brain injuries occur when you're deprived of oxygen, and they can have traumatic causes, such as when an injury to the chest or there's
mm-hmm.
blood loss from a traumatic injury somewhere else in your body that ends up making you have less oxygen or less
mm-hmm.
oxygen going to the brain. So that's anoxic brain injury. Then there's hypoxic brain injury, which is also similar to anoxic injuries, but less severe. And that occurs when the brain receives some, but not enough oxygen. And then second impact syndrome, which mm-hmm. occurs when an individual has a concussion before the first one has properly healed. So you already had a concussion, now you're having something else happen. And then that just leads to rapid and severe brain swelling. So those are the different types of TBIs that there are. Complex traumatic brain injury is usually utilized in medical inpatient communities. And we use it to describe brain injury that presents with multiple and severe symptoms that can be challenging to treat. And that generally refers to cases where there's a combination of profound cognitive issues, physical issues, and even potentially behavioral issues. So it's a combination. Basically, we say complex when there's like a whole bunch of things going on at the same time. And it can include anything from the list that I just, gave you, as well as, the reaction or the, the consequence of them. Yeah.
So yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this question popped into my head as mm-hmm. you were talking about how a traumatic brain injury can occur from lack of something. So could it be true that a child who is living in a stressful, traumatic environment and their brain develops in a different, in not the way that it's supposed to. So they have an enlarged prefrontal cortex or their amygdala is not the correct in the correct sizing. Is that which we see in PTSD patients? Is that also considered a traumatic brain injury?
That's such a great question. I'm glad that you asked that. So we see this, you know, for sure in children, and then also in I've worked with the military population as well, and people do not understand that trauma, right, can impact your brain so consistently and so forcefully that it can represent and have similar symptoms to that of a TBI. And arguably, because of the consistent, you know, replay of the trauma or even reactions that occur as a result of the trauma happening, you know, with those, we see the brain have reactions, of course, and adjustments, right? Again, resembling TBIs. So there is, you know, there's two circles. There's the circle of PTSD and all the symptoms that go along with it. And then there's the circle of TBI with all the symptoms that, you know, go in that category as well. But there's a place where those two circles overlap for sure. And the symptoms are shared and certainly experienced in similar ways. Of course, unique to each person. Everybody's person journey is different. And everybody is recovering from something at some point or another. So how that looks and at what stage of your life, you know, how that looks dependent on your stage is also important to consider. So yes, for children, I would say it's similar, you know?
That's interesting. And it's also very eye-opening because if you consider a child who grew up in that traumatic environment and it prolongs into adulthood, that has profound impacts on how your brain develops.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
So in your work, what have you observed or noticed with survivors of TBIs and PTSD in how those women navigate motherhood?
Everybody's journey is different.
Absolutely.
And I've seen so many different paths that have been taken, you know, because of the uniqueness of presentations and experiences, that I would say it's, you know, you'd want to learn from the person directly. But there are some symptoms and some things that, you know, we can talk about that are general for sure. So, you know, TBI usually will present itself. It could be very slight. It could be minimal. You could notice a behavioral change in yourself. You could notice, or in the person who has incurred the TBI, you can notice mood changes and shifts, and it could be very subtle. You know, you can find yourself being, you know, in a position where you no longer have the ability to focus the way you used to, or even articulate the way you used to. And so those are some of the more subtle changes, I would say. Physiologically, of course, there are things that you may notice as well, you know, fatigue, pain, you know, lethargy, same as fatigue, you know, that kind of thing. So those are things to kind of be aware of. And of course, if it's a subtle type of presentation like that for a mother, right, mom might not notice that anything is wrong and just try to push through, right? And I think certainly as mothers and working professionals and, you know, whoever, like, there's the drive to just be like, nope, keep going, keep going. And as a result, you may notice or not notice rather that something is actually really wrong that needs to be addressed. And that can also be helped. You know, you can fix it, you can work through it and navigate it. So from a subtle perspective, you know, the, what often gets missed, like the concussions or, you know, the more light TBIs, let's say the mild TBIs. That's what I've seen. With the more severe cases where injury is, you know, a car accident, and now we've had that coup contre coup happen, or you were on the battlefield, you know, and you incurred injury because of that. Coming back to a place where you're trying to understand who you are post-injury is usually a big challenge. You know, it's interesting because, like, once the injury occurs, there's a period of time that you want to be able to, like, jump on getting rehab and getting yourself to think and cognitively reshape and reframe and work through things, strengthen things again, regaining, you know, the skills that you may feel or are seeing having been impacted. So you can go through that rehab, and jumping on that also has its own challenges, you know, like the fact that you have to go through it, the fact that going through it is taking you away from this identity that you've had as a mother, as a provider, you know. And then once you get past that and you kind of land a little bit, now you're thinking to yourself, okay, I'm regaining things. I'm getting myself back in into a place where I can function, right? But what does that mean for me as a mother? You know, that is a common question that I've encountered with the people that I've worked with. And then also with the family, you know, or the children, it's like, who is mom now, right? And so there's a period of time that definitely needs to be invested into learning who that person is, connecting with that person, having grace and compassion for that person, you know, and to develop into that now. And I think what's important to remember is that without any injury, right, we're always evolving. We're always evolving. And because we're always evolving, it is not fair for us to expect us, ourselves, to be the same person that we were 10 years ago. You know, there are definitely going to be, you know, similarities and, you know, like baseline places where, from which we operate from and who we are. However, because we're building on experience and situations and, you know, what have you, like, we're always evolving, right? We're always learning things and hopefully pushing through, you know, the challenges and such. So the brain injury, right, can be seen as just part of that evolutionary process, right? Where you're saying, okay, this is a hurdle that I've definitely had to encounter, and it's real, and here are the symptoms and everything. And is it easy? Maybe not, maybe, you know, but it's just another stage. It's just another part of my evolution, of my story, and that's okay. So having grace and compassion for that and that process is extremely vital, and also one that I've spent a lot of time working with people on.
Yeah, I love that. It allows for you to incorporate that change without allowing it to define who you are and what ability you have.
Exactly, exactly. And the big kind of like refrain there is, you are not your injury.
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
You know, the injury has happened, but it does not have to define you, you know, and that's for anything. That's TBI, that's anything, depression, anxiety, whatever. It doesn't have to define you. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love that. So what tips, let's go with, like, I don't know, three tips that you have for someone navigating a TBI or PTSD in the midst of parenting.
Sure. Very important medical support. Number one, you have to excuse me, not only get the diagnosis, but also make sure that you have a team of people that are working with you to help you with navigating whatever your symptoms are. And that could be, excuse me, as simple as, you know, having a couple of providers, or even having a team of providers that include, you know, not only counseling or therapy or coaching, but also maybe occupational services, occupational therapy, speech services and speech therapy if needed, recreational therapy, vocational services, things like that. So depending on the severity of your injury and also what's projected in terms of the symptoms that you're experiencing, it's important to have team members that would be able to address whatever it is that you're experiencing. So medical support, number one. Two, giving yourself time for that rehabilitation, I would say, mm-hmm. and allowing space for rehabilitative growth is really important. So engaging with the programs that are then prescribed from your medical team is going to be important. So that I would put that as like a subcategory of mm-hmm. the medical support. For yourself and what you can do and what you certainly have control over is routine. Consistency and routine become really important as part of any type of a rehabilitative program that you set for yourself or that's prescribed to you. So either yeah. one. And again, establishing a cadence within your day that allows you to not only connect with yourself, but also engage in your rehabilitation and connect with your support system becomes really, really important. So routine is the second big one that I would say. The third one I would say would be tools. Start to create kind of like a basket of tools that you can always go to for different things that you're experiencing. So if it's mood and emotion, you know, like what are some of the things that work for you right now that help you with processing what you're going through? Is it journaling? Is it voice journaling? Is it, you know, going for walks and then coming back and journaling? Is it meditation? You know, and that kind of overlaps into self-care. But I really like reinforcing the idea of having that go-to basket of tools that really resonate with you so that you know that if you A, need to take a break, or B, mm-hmm. bump into your own personal time that you're taking for yourself, you can hear yourself, listen to yourself, and be organic with what it is that you're wanting to utilize as your tool to process your emotions or whatever you're experiencing in the moment. So allowing that space to be organic with yourself becomes important to use the tools that you know work for you. So those are the big three that I would say.
Awesome. Where can our listeners connect with you further if they'd like to?
Yeah. So drmala.net is my website, and my social handle is @theofficialdrmala.
Awesome. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day today, Dr. Mala, for sharing with my audience. It is a pleasure meeting you, and thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure speaking with you today.
Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to tune in to this episode of the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. If you would like more of the Mamahood After Trauma community, make sure to look in the description of this episode for the link to become a Mamahood After Trauma Inner Circle member. Until next time, Mama, keep